I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang of Forbes.com and The Daily is here with me. Gordon, Dateline Beijing. Prime Minister Stephen Harper of Canada pledged closer trade ties with China during a meeting with Premier Wen Jiabao on Wednesday within these last hours. At the center of their discussions, according to this report from Beijing within these last hours, Mr. Harper aims to increase Canada's capacity to export oil and other resources to China. Gosh, Gordon, I think we're on to something here. We're joined now by someone who's already anticipated this pledge, this closer relationship. We welcome Robert Cutler, who's a research fellow at Carleton University in Ottawa, and he's the energy security specialist for Asia Times Online, writing about this within these last days. Robert, a very good evening to you. The Prime Minister of Canada is in Beijing meeting with the boss of China. Is it Alberta they're talking about? Is it the Keystone XL pipeline they're talking about? Is it Canada looking for a trading partner after it was spurned by President Obama? Good evening to you, Robert.
Good evening, John. I'm very happy to be with you. And hello, Gordon. Yes, that's certainly going to be at the center of their discussions. He's going to be there for 5 days, so they're going to have a lot to talk about. You know, science, public health, law enforcement. But energy and resources, given Canada's economic profile and trade, is certainly going to be, on the barrelhead.
Robert, does Beijing want Canada's oil, or does it want its technology for getting oil and gas out of shale? What is more important, do you think?
It wants whatever it can get. If it can get both, it'll take both.
And because of this mixed mission, is the Prime Minister in a good position here to deal with Beijing, or is he a supplicant after the rejection by Washington?
No, it's not that he's going there with his head hung down, but he's not going there with revenge on his mind either. It's more the case that Canada, as you know, is third in the world in oil reserves, third in natural gas reserves. It has copper, platinum, gold, silver. It's a periodic table of the elements. It just is that there are more people, more countries out there than there were even 15 years ago that have the money to buy it and the demand for it because of their middle classes, among other things, who want good houses and so on. And so he's really looking at China as just another market. Now, it's not just another market because it's a pretty big one. But in general, it's not anything anti-American. It's simply looking out for his own interests. I'm sure he'd prefer to go with the U.S. If he could.
One of the things I think is interesting is that Canada right now sells about, 96-97% of its oil to the United States?
Yes, a long-standing trade ties, very good mutual understanding, yes.
And really, if for Canada to sell oil or anything else to China, it needs to build the Gateway Pipeline, right? And that Gateway Pipeline, like the Keystone, is not a done deal.
Robert, what is the Gateway Pipeline? Explain to the audience, please.
The Gateway Pipeline or the Keystone?
Gateway.
The Gateway Pipeline is a pipeline that they want to build out to British Columbia to ship the gas.
So they want to take it from the Alberta sands, oil sands, west to British Columbia, to Vancouver or north of Vancouver?
It's a little north of Vancouver, and it's important to say that just because it goes out there doesn't mean that the U.S. Is out of the market. It just means that they'll have to ship it in to California from up there.
All right, so the suggestion is to build a gateway pipeline from Alberta's oil sands, producing the oil that was scheduled to flow all the way to the Gulf of Mexico, where the U.S. refineries are waiting for it, instead of it being all pooled in Cushing and unable to get to the East Coast. I'm going over old territory just to make everybody clear that Robert is saying building the Gateway Pipeline west to British Columbia isn't necessarily spurning the U.S., but sure looks that way, Robert. You know, the Gulf is southeast, and you're building a pipeline west, which aims right at China. Now, isn't that convenient?
Well, John, put yourself in Canada's place. What would you do if you were trying to...
I do exactly what you're doing. I do exactly what you're doing. I'm just emphasizing that Mr. Harper had this alternative. The Washington knew that. So, Robert, is it not still a surprise that the Obama administration turned away from the Keystone XL pipeline, knowing that Harper was headed to Beijing?
It's very difficult to understand from an economic point of view, because even if the U.S. still imports some of the oil via California, it's going to be more expensive because the transportation costs are going to be higher. There isn't going to be the job creation from the pipeline built in the U.S. It's a very hard decision to understand on an economic basis. There may be a political basis.
Well, you know, Robert, it seems it's interesting that when Harper is in Canada, he's got to talk about other issues as well. And like, for instance, the investment pact, human rights, all the rest of it. It seems that these issues clog up this whole discussion about energy, which probably should be at the forefront of the discussions between Ottawa and Beijing, right?
That the human rights, well, he's certainly going to make his views known. In fact, it's fair to say that on some questions of world politics, the Canada even has a stronger profile than the United States does. Harper, for example, considers himself, I think correctly, the staunchest supporter of Israel nowadays. And he is certainly acquiring, he was, people sort of poo-pooed him in the beginning. He didn't look like a very professional politician, but he's won three or four elections in a row, and he's gotten a good jump on the world stage. And also, not to be forgotten, the Canada's Minister of Finance is now the chair of the committee that oversees all the central banks and in the world. It's a consultative committee. He's a very impressive guy. He has a PhD from Oxford, but he's not an academic. He's not an egghead, and he's one of the reasons why Canada, dare I say, well, you know, I'm originally from the U.S., so I can say this, Canada is doing better than the U.S. these days.
Much better. Much. Let's emphasize that. The loonie is a much stronger currency. I want to emphasize here, trade ties between the two countries are on the rise, so this isn't just about energy. But what is the opinion in Ottawa, Robert? Generalize for us. Is this seen as the next best choice after the rejection by Washington, or is this the way Canada is going now? Go east, Canada.
Well, Canada's trade with the U.S. Is always very high. Even as recent as 12 years ago, you say that 85% of Canada's trade turnover, that's imports and exports together,
right,
was to the U.S.
Yes.
Nowadays, it's down to about maybe 74, and by the end of the decade, it might be down to 67. That's not because of U.S.-Canada relations. It's because there are more rich countries out there that want what Canada has.
All right. Robert Cutler, I think we've made our points with irony. Robert Cutler is an energy security specialist for the Asia Times Online. He's a research fellow for Carleton University in Ottawa. The Prime Minister of Canada is in Beijing discussing energy. The Alberta oil sands, which are a fountain of energy in North America, rejected by the United States and its refineries in the Gulf, are looking for a market. China's ready to deal. I'm John Batchelor.